This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Health and Living. It's our open clinic segment today. And today is also World Oral Health Day. So I think you can guess it. The doctor in the house today is actually a dentist. Yes, it's our Ask a Dentist segment. Dr. Masurialis Binti Ahmad, President-elect of the Malaysian Dental Association, sitting across from me in the studio, here to answer your questions about your teeth, your gums, and anything to do with your oral health, really. So do call us. 03-7733-2900 is the number to call. You can also send us a WhatsApp message or voice note on our U mobile number 018-789-8899. That's 018-789-8899. Or tweet us at BFM Radio. Again, your questions about the health of your teeth, your gums, anything to do with the oral cavity, really, or any problems that you've been having with this particular area of your health recently. Dr. Mas, thank you so much for joining me today. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, Aishel. Thanks to BFM for providing this platform for us.
Happy World Oral Health Day, I guess I should say.
Thank you. Happy World Oral Health Day, everyone.
So, oral health, when we talk about the area of the mouth, perhaps some people only think of the teeth and the gums, like I said. Mm-hmm. You want to give us a little bit of an anatomy 101. What areas of the mouth should we be very careful about?
Okay, being a dentist, when we talk about oral health, it's not just about the teeth. It's everything within inside the mouth itself. This includes the inner side of the cheek, the tongue, floor of mouth, the palate, the lips. And we also look at the patients in a holistic manner, actually, like the whole body, because sometimes patients do have some kind of systemic conditions, but they don't realize. And when we look into the mouth, they have these signs that there are underlying conditions which have not been diagnosed, and it manifests in the mouth. So we always say that the mouth is a mirror, meaning that the mouth resembles something that happens within your body, but the signs actually appears in the mouth. Okay, so besides just looking inside the mouth, we look, we assess the patients, like the whole physical conditions of the patient, especially the face, because patients can have like swollen face because of disease that happens in the mouth, because they have rotten tooth, because they have problems with their gums or their bones. So when we look at the patients, we look at inside the mouth, we look at their face, and we look at their whole body. Mm. Okay. So dentist is not just limited at limited to treating the teeth, but it's basically the whole what's everything inside the mouth just before going to the throat, because beyond throat is already ears, nose and throat specialists. Yes. Yeah, so we work closely with our medical counterparts because it is all interlinked.
Mm. Can you give us an example of a condition where the mouth would have been where the symptoms started?
Okay, for example, immunocompromised patient with low immune system, for example, HIV. So there are some oral signs, for example, oral infections, some white lesions on the tongue, warts, which looks like cauliflowers growing out of the mouth. So this can indicate that the patient has low immune system, and which HIV is one of the potential cause. Systemic conditions affecting the gut, okay, the gastrointestinal system, can also manifest in the mouth. Patients with who have malnutrition, okay, low iron, patients can have gum disease, can have oral ulcers because of lack of some nutrients. So some of them, the most common ones, yeah.
Mm. Does it work the other way as well in terms of poor oral health then affecting other parts of the body systemically?
Yeah, studies have shown that poor oral health can lead to deterioration of blood sugar level in diabetic patient. Okay, and it also works other way, the other way, meaning that if you have poor control of diabetes, you can have more severe periodontal disease. And there are also other conditions such as cardiovascular disease and also stroke patients as well. So it has studies have shown that if you have poor oral health, you have more risk of developing these conditions. Mm-hmm. And also studies have shown that mothers with poor oral health can lead to preterm birth babies and babies born with low birth weight. So statistically, this has been proven. Okay, other conditions that can lead to that has this oral systemic health connections. The more common ones are like osteoporosis. So. Heart disease. This is why it's very important for us to stress out, especially diabetes, because periodontal disease is one of the most common complications of diabetes. Mm. So for a diabetic patient, we will see the patient more frequently.
Yeah.
Okay, and we do work hand in hand. We work closely with our medical counterparts to make sure that patient has both oral health and their systemic health well controlled.
Mm-hmm. How would you define good oral health, or conversely, what is poor oral health as well? If I don't have a huge rotting cavity in my mouth, does mm-hmm. that mean I have good oral health?
Okay, so as mentioned before, we don't only look at the teeth. We look at the condition of the gums. Mm. So if the gum is not swollen, if there's no bleeding, the plaque as well. So if there's a lot of plaque in the mouth, so that means you have poor oral health. So other conditions like no infection, okay, no ulcers, and if you don't experience any pain, including jaw pain. Okay, so and also like other characteristics like white, red lesions that can actually indicate that you will have some kind of benign or malignant condition. Mm. So it's not just about cavities, but it's also about conditions affecting the gum and also the tissues.
Mm, yeah. Absolutely. Everything in the mouth, as you said.
Yeah.
What are some of the most common problems that dentists in Malaysia see among their patients related to all of the aspects?
Okay. Referring to the National Oral Health Survey, the most prevalent oral health condition is periodontal disease or gum disease. So more than 90% of Malaysians do present with some kind of conditions affecting their gum health. Okay, so there's a lot of reasons why this happened. Okay, one is because of poor oral hygiene care, and the other is because of the aging population, because now we're getting more and more people living in the elderly category. Okay, and people are getting more and more aware about oral health. They want to retain their teeth. So the National Oral Health Survey has also shown that the rate of edentulism, meaning that people who don't have any teeth, the number is getting less and less because the awareness is getting better. So they want to keep their teeth. But this also means that we have to treat these remaining teeth because it might present with cavities or they might have gum disease. So, and because of this, we get a higher rate of periodontal disease. We get a lower rate of people losing their teeth, mm. but at the same time, we get higher rate of periodontal disease happening. Mm. Okay, and also there are certain systemic conditions associated with periodontal disease, as I mentioned, diabetes. So with the increasing cases of diabetes happening in Malaysia, so periodontal disease is also one of the complications of diabetes, and that's why periodontal disease is becoming more and more prevalent.
Yeah. what others come rank up there after gum disease?
Caries, cavities, yep. But we can see that because of the increasing awareness amongst Malaysian populations, so it is the rate is
reduced.
Well, it is still high, but it is because of the initiatives done by the ministries and from the mass media. So it's not reduced, but it can. It is not like there's a sudden increase, right? But besides that, I would say that oral cancer is still there. Okay, although we are still doing activities to educate the public about the risks of oral cancer, but it's still prevalent.
Is that linked to smoking?
It's linked to smoking. It's linked to unhealthy behavior such as betel nut. Okay, and it's not just smoking; it's also vaping as well. Okay, because vaping also contains some kind of some amount of nicotine. Okay, and then alcoholism and virus. So. So the ministry is encouraging dentists to do an overall comprehensive checkup. So when the patient comes, we don't only check for cavities or gum disease. We also do a thorough oral cancer assessment, okay, to detect oral cancer at the initial stage when it is still early, because early identification would lead to better prognosis, okay, if being treated early.
Absolutely. So get your questions in now for Dr. Mas related to, if you have concerns about oral cancer, for instance. I'm certainly quite alarmed listening to this, and the importance of knowing what to look out for. Of course, about your general oral health as well, whether it's to do with your teeth, gums, tongue, floor of mouth, palate, everything, right, in your mouth. This is the chance to get your questions in. You can call us at 03-7733-2900. You can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. I'll be right back with Dr. Mas Surialis Binti Ahmad, President-elect of the Malaysian Dental Association. Stay tuned to Health and Living, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Shaoik, and my guest, Dr. Mas Surialis Binti Ahmad, President-elect of the Malaysian Dental Association. It's our Ask a Doctor, or rather Ask a Dentist segment today in conjunction with World Oral Health Day. So call us with your questions about oral health, anything to do with your teeth, gums, and really lots of soft tissues in the mouth, right? The inside of the cheek, the tongue, the palate, the lips, the face. You can call us at 03-7733-2900. You can also WhatsApp us at our U-Mobile number 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Speaking of Twitter, we did have a question from a post that we put up earlier from Jen Cat, who just mentioned must be the pain that he's in. Sensitive gums and constant bleeding. I want to link this to what you said earlier, Dr. Mas, that gum disease is by far the number one oral health issue that we see here in Malaysia. Does that mean that, you know, and so many people have the same issues that Jen Cat has, sensitive gums, gums that bleed. What is it a sign of an underlying problem they need to look out for? What should they do?
Okay. It's not a straightforward answer because we need to have a thorough assessment, including history. Okay, so medical history, your dental history, meaning that how's your oral hygiene practice is like. Okay, and we'll do like investigations such as plaque score to look at the bacterial load, meaning that. Like we want to see like what kind of bacteria exists in the mouth, and do these bacteria actually cause the the gum disease that you're experiencing, because there are so many risk factors and also so many reasons why gum disease happen. Okay, one is because of poor plaque control, okay, because of your toothbrushing technique is not efficient enough. And the other one is because of some systemic conditions such as diabetes, and also low immune system. So this can cause exaggerated gum disease as well. Okay, so we need to investigate why this gum disease happens at the first place, and then we will treat it. We will address the risk factor and treat it according to what causes the problems. So if it's more to do with inefficient toothbrushing, so we will improve on the toothbrushing technique. And of course, we have to do the scaling and the root, the gum treatment. Okay, we will monitor our patients. Usually after 1 week, we will see the patients first, and we will ask the patient how the patient is doing with their toothbrushing, with their oral hygiene care, and check again if there is improvement in their oral hygiene, in their plaque control. And if required, we also look at other, not just the gum, we check overall. So if there are indications that it is just beyond poor oral hygiene care, if it indicates something else, for example, some patients, they don't know that they have diabetes, okay? So there are other signs in the mouth besides periodontal disease. So they can have poor wound healing, they have infections. So maybe we want to be more careful about that. So maybe we would want to refer the patients and get a medical assessment if there's underlying diabetes complication, diabetes that the patient might not know. So,
so definitely not something to be dismissed.
So that's why thorough oral health assessment is important. So it's not a straightforward answer. So please see your dentist, because we will do a thorough assessment, not just the gum, but also we will look at thoroughly in your oral cavity to see whether it's just poor oral hygiene care or is it something else which needs more investigation and also treatment.
Tan wants to know, Tan says one of his teeth is sensitive. Is there any treatment for it? I'm also curious to know what causes tooth sensitivity.
Okay, so tooth sensitivity can happen because of tooth wear, okay, meaning that the tooth is worn out. So the enamel, the outer layer of the tooth, if it's worn out because of acidic attack. Acidic attack can happen because of some acidic beverages and also certain acidic food, for example, pickles, citrus food. So that can slowly remove the outer layer of the tooth, which is the enamel, exposing the dentin. And dentin has all these channels or tubules. So when it is exposed to external stimuli, so it can cause sensitivity, because it can expose it to the pulp where the nerves are there. So that's one reason. The other cause is maybe there's a cavity or tooth crack. Okay, so again, getting a professional assessment here is important, because we want to rule out what are the causes to get the proper treatment. Yeah, so we need to check whether it's because of cavities, because of tooth crack, or is it because of erosions that happen from food, or is it because of bruxism, meaning you grind your teeth, or because of tooth brushing too hard. If you brush too hard, can also cause sensitivity when you actually cause your gum to recede, meaning that the gum will get pulled away from your tooth, exposing the root surface. So this can cause sensitivity as well.
All right. We have another question. Why are my teeth still yellow even though I brush them twice a day?
Okay. So we need to see, okay, what caused the teeth to be yellow. Okay, has it always been yellow from birth, or is it something new, or is it happens progressively? Because there are so many factors that can cause discoloration of the teeth. Okay, so and discoloration of the teeth can happen on the external surface of the tooth, meaning the outer layer of the tooth, or it can happen from within. Within meaning that, for example, when in the infancy period, during the growth of the fetus, if the mother takes certain medications, for example, tetracycline, okay, an antibiotic, so this can affect the growth of the development of the tooth of the baby. So when the patients get their teeth out later, so they can experience this. The teeth can they can have yellow teeth. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we call this intrinsic discoloration. But there are also factors that can cause discoloration on the outer layer. For example, drinking lots of coffee, which I do. Okay.
Oh dear, I was so worried you were going to say that.
Certain food, and also bacteria. Bacteria can cause discoloration of the tooth as well. So we need to assess why this happened. Is it on the outer layer or the inner layer? And because there are different treatment for that. Okay, so if it's just coffee, so abstinence or polishing, okay, professional polishing would help, yeah. Mm. And there are many treatment actually for discoloration of the tooth, including tooth whitening. So we assess why it happens at the first place. And if it's more of an inner problem, intrinsic problem, so no matter how much polishing that we do, it will not solve the problem. So in this case, either we do veneer, okay, where we actually we coat the outer layer of the tooth, okay, with restorative material, okay, to make it to improve the color. Mm-hmm. Okay, but if it's just extrinsic discoloration, for example, just coffee, food. So if we can opt for the less destructive treatment, for example, polishing or chemical whitening, mm-hmm. so we will always opt for the less destructive or the more conservative treatment first. Because the thing about veneer is that we will need to remove some layer of the tooth to make sure that the veneer will stick onto the tooth, okay? So it will require removal of some amount of healthy teeth, okay? Mm. Or your natural teeth. So if we have a more conservative treatment, less destructive treatment, we will opt for that first,
sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
Unless if veneer is really indicated, then only we will advise the patient to get veneer.
But there are some concerns about teeth whitening among our listeners. Mm. Mel wants to know, is it harmful and corrosive? Justine on Instagram was asking whether the at-home whitening strips are safe.
Okay, so in this case, again, I would advise you to get professional advice, because the dentist will assess why does the discoloration happens at the first place. So if, because not all patients require tooth whitening, okay, maybe just some polishing, external polishing would help to solve the problem. Okay, even whitening, not everyone requires professional tooth whitening, okay? And sometimes even the dentist can advise you to use a certain products at home, because the discoloration is not that severe. Mm. Okay, so
on dentist advice.
Yes, on dentist advice. Because of course, every treatment that you do, there's always risks and benefits. Yeah. So like whitening, because we use some chemicals, of course, it will cause some removal of tooth substance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So please get professional advice for this. Yeah.
Another listener who texted in to say, the problem is the upper lips are too dry, drinking 3 liters of water every day, applying Vaseline every 3 hours, but it is still so dry that, you know, every time he smiles, it hurts. That sounds painful. Mm. What could this be related to?
Okay, all right. So if you drink a lot of water and you still experience dryness, what's the other?
Applying Vaseline.
Oh, okay. Mm. All right. So, actually, there are a few conditions, systemic conditions, that can lead to having dryness of the mouth, okay, in spite of having drinking a lot of water, Okay, for example, Sjögren's syndrome. Okay, so you can experience dryness as well. Okay, but okay, let's not be let's not take it so too seriously. Okay, there are other external factors as well. For example, mouth breathing. Okay, so if you think that you have like high lip line, or you breathe through your mouth, so that can lead to dryness of the mouth as well. Mm. Okay, so if you can ask your dentist to look at why is there any dental causes that can cause you to experience dry mouth, okay, they will assess, okay, in terms of the lips anatomy, in terms of your breathing habits. So if there is no dentally related causes, then we can refer you to get more medical advice if there's any... To do a thorough medical checkup if there's any systemic conditions which can lead to having mouth dryness as one of the symptoms.
You brought up Sjögren's syndrome, and actually another listener did text in with that, asking how to prevent that from getting worse. This is a first for me. I'm not sure what Sjögren's syndrome is. Perhaps you could give us a little bit of an explanation.
Well, it's an autoimmune condition. So... I'm not the best person to advise on this, actually. So you better go and get a medical advice, because you need to get some investigation, before you come up with this diagnosis. Mm-hmm. Okay, so how can I prevent? Okay, how can I prevent from getting worse? I'm not the best person to advise. Okay, endocrinologist, you can always go to any general practitioner, and they can advise you. They can refer you to the correct specialist, they are the best person to advise you. Yeah.
This one's a fun one from Mel. Is electric toothbrush more effective compared to the conventional toothbrush?
Okay, for this, I get this question a lot from my patients. But I will always tell them that you can use whatever that you're comfortable with. The most important thing is the technique. So if you think that you like your manual toothbrush, continue using your manual toothbrush. So we just improve on how you manipulate, you use your toothbrush so that you get the techniques correct. You reach to the places to remove plaque well. But if you think that you can't hold it, you have some kind of manual dexterity, or you like the sensation, you think it's more convenient, electronic toothbrush. Yes, you can use electronic toothbrush, but again, it's the technique. So if the electronic toothbrush is not effective to remove the plaque because you have a crowded teeth, for example, so maybe the electronic toothbrush bristles cannot get to the difficult areas. So in this case, I would see the case on a case-to-case basis, individualized manner, actually. So if I think that using manual toothbrush is more effective, especially for those patients with crowded teeth, then I will advise to use manual toothbrush. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, one isn't necessarily better than the other, just on the surface of it. Keep your questions coming in. We have a little bit of time left before we have to let Dr. Mas go, and they are coming in fast and furious, actually. But we have to go for a quick break first. So when we come back, we will address those. You can call us at 03-7733-2900. You can WhatsApp us at our U mobile number, 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Dr. Mas Surialis Binti Ahmad, President-elect of the Malaysian Dental Association, on the show with me today. Stay tuned. Health and Living, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Shawik, and my guest, Dr. Mas Surialis Binti Ahmad, President-elect of the Malaysian Dental Association. It's our open clinic segment today with a dentist. instead of our typical other medical specialties, because it's World Oral Health Day today. And really, there's probably no part of the body we should neglect any more than our mouth, the teeth, the gums, all the inside areas of the mouth. Call us with your questions, 03-7733-2900. WhatsApp us at our U mobile number, 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. We interestingly spent a bit of time talking about toothbrushes before the break. Let's continue that just a little bit more. Charcoal toothbrushes, are they any good?
Okay, so because charcoal toothbrushes are still new in the market, so there is still lack of evidence, scientific evidence, to show that it is more effective than the normal toothbrush. So I cannot comment more than that because... Mm-hmm. Some companies can get angry with me. No.
But going back to what you said, it's about technique.
Yeah, it's technique. Yeah.
Because if you are looking at any type of toothbrush, at the end of the day, if you're not able to reach certain areas, you're not going to be able to clean them well. But toothpaste now instead of toothbrushes. Mm-hmm. Is it okay to use non-fluoride toothpaste?
Okay, so as a dentist, we always advise our patients to use fluoridated toothpaste because of the good effect of fluoride in protecting your teeth against cavity. Okay, so it has an antibacterial effect against microorganisms that can cause tooth cavities. Mm-hmm. And also it forms like a protective layer around the tooth to protect it from forming cavities. Okay, so I got a lot of questions about fluoride being toxic. Okay, so as long as you use within the recommended amount, okay, it should be safe. Okay, it should not cause fluorosis, or it should not cause toxicity. Okay, unless you swallow like so many tubes of toothpaste at the same time. Okay, so no, it does not cause toxicity as long as you use if you follow the recommended amount and regimen,
And now on to flossing. On Instagram, we had some questions about this. We have one on WhatsApp now. Water flossing over the traditional dental floss. Your thoughts?
Okay, so water flossing has been recommended for people with manual dexterity problems, for example, arthritis, patients with who wear braces, and also it's good for hard-to-reach areas, for example, the teeth at the back. Okay, so... I know that some periodontists, some dentists do actually recommend the use of water floss, okay, especially for these categories of patients, okay. But it has because it's still new, again, scientific evidence is not enough to say that it is more superior compared to the traditional floss, okay, but... For me, because I treat patients with disability, I treat patients who cannot manipulate floss, so I give them an option of using water floss. Mm. So water floss can be a good option for those, especially who cannot handle the traditional floss. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Back to toothpaste. Mm-hmm. Is it recommended to spit but not rinse when it comes to using the fluoridated toothpaste?
Also, okay, this is also so many views on this, okay? It's difficult to say because for me, I will always recommend my patients to wash, okay, after they spit and they wash, okay?
What might be the rationale behind not rinsing?
I think because they want the fluoride to stay on the teeth. Mm. But then you can use other products to have that sustained effect of protection. Okay, they are like, for example, CPP, ACP, to prevent cavities from happening. So after toothbrushing, so we advise the patient to use this tooth mousse and put it all over the mouth. Don't rinse it, go to bed straight away. So so if tooth mousse, yes, I would recommend them to put it on. Do not rinse, go to sleep straight away. But for toothpaste, I will ask them to just spit out, yeah, clean it and go to sleep. Yeah.
Now we're going to no toothpaste. We have a question. Is toothpaste even necessary at all? Can you just brush your teeth without using a toothpaste?
Okay. Toothpaste has all this ingredients, okay, which is formulated to give protection to your teeth, okay, including fluoride. Okay, so yes, toothpaste is necessary. Okay, but because I treat medically compromised patients, so there are certain, like for example, if they are recovering from chemotherapy, for example, so their experience is inflammation of the mouth, which can be very, very painful. During this period, because it's very, very painful, we call it mucositis. Yeah, when they cannot tolerate toothpaste at all, we still recommend that they clean with using the gauze dipped into fluoride mouthwash or chlorhexidine mouthwash. But they are to commence toothbrushing as soon as possible, okay, with toothpaste, because of the protective effect that the toothpaste can give to the patient.
All right. Still on toothpaste, Dr. Mas, our listeners are very, very interested. and you know, I can understand the confusion in a way. There's so many products out there, right? Mm-hmm. Whitening toothpaste, would it be helpful or would it actually cause you to lose the enamel? Are they as effective as you were talking about some other whitening procedures and products earlier?
For me, I would always get professional advice first before using whitening toothpaste. Yeah, because there are pros and cons, there are risks and benefits in using this. Okay, so whether or not whitening toothpaste is indicated at the first place, it's for the dental professionals to advise you on. To be honest, yeah. Mm-hmm. So. Whether or not it's good, I can't really comment on that, because it requires a more thorough assessment, examination before we can actually say that this is good for you or not.
Who would have thought, even whitening toothpaste, see your dentist first and find out more first whether you really need it or not. Here's one about children. How frequently should we bring children to the dentist? In fact, I'm curious, how early do we need to start bringing children to the dentist? Is it really a problem if they develop cavities in their milk teeth?
Okay. I would advise people to bring their child to see the dentist as soon as the first tooth develop.
Okay? The milk tooth?
Yeah, the first milk tooth. Okay. So this is more to acclimatize the patient to dental environment so that they don't feel anxious or develop phobia towards dentistry. To instill good behavior, okay, amongst the patient and also the parents, okay, to give advice and to also monitor if there's any problems that they can manage earlier, at an earlier stage, before it becomes more problematic, that requires more advanced treatment later.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Related to children as well, is there a standard in terms of how long it would take for permanent teeth to grow out after their milk teeth have dropped?
Yeah, there is, we call it like a guideline, a chart of the range, the age range for the permanent teeth to come up to replace the milk teeth. Okay, you can get this from internet. Just Google, okay, tooth development chart, so you can get an idea. Yeah.
Okay. We had a question on Instagram, which seems basic, but I think it's really important. Winfleur wants to know, do you really have to scale your teeth twice a year?
Okay. Again, it's not a straightforward answer because every patient is different. Because some patients even require scaling 3 to 4 months a year. Okay. Because it depends on a lot of factor. The patient's attitudes, motivation, their underlying medical conditions, for example, other risks that can predispose the patients to develop periodontal disease. So your doctor should be able to advise you. Okay, so they will do a thorough assessment. So I would say that dentists recommend professional scaling about once or twice a year. Okay, some patients who are at higher risk, they may require more often than that, but against this require professional advice.
Mm-hmm. One listener asking about whether eating or drinking, I suppose, very hot food like soup or hot pot will cause problems to the teeth or the mouth.
Okay. Okay, certain food, acidic food, I would say, can cause problems to the mouth. Okay, it can cause erosions, and some patients may experience burning sensation with acidic food, and also eating hot food. Okay, so in this case, hot food causing erosions. Acidic food cause erosions, but not hot, burning food. Mm. But if you feel that if you feel like a painful or burning sensation in the mouth, so I would say that avoid food that can cause discomfort or pain to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. If it's causing pain, you probably shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah.
A few questions regarding braces and retainers, which I'm going to lump together. Mm. How long should I wear my retainer after taking off the braces? What happens if I don't wear my retainers regularly?
Okay, so different types of retainers are prescribed for different problems. So you need to discuss with your orthodontist. Because what causes you to wear braces at the first place? And how can the retainer help in preventing relapse, meaning that the tooth can get back to the same position as before you wear the braces? So different case is different. Okay, so talk to your orthodontist because there are some patients who, for example, have to wear it night only or morning only or like 3 times a week and then you taper it down to once a week. So I can't advise on that because every patient is different. People wear braces and retainers for different reasons. So please discuss with your orthodontist.
All right. We had a question. I'm going to broaden it out a little bit to include, I suppose, what people can do, patients or just consumers can do if they have had dental procedures mm-hmm. that have gone wrong. Mm. This listener wants to know, is there anything that the Malaysian Dental Association can do? From me, I would like to know more broadly, from a regulatory perspective, is there anything we can go to the Ministry of Health for?
Okay, so because Malaysian Dental Association is not a legislative body, okay, so we are an association. But if you have complaints, okay, including malpractice or misbehavior or anything concerning the professionalism of the dentist, or you're not happy with your treatment, you can refer to the Malaysian Dental Council (MDC). Okay, so you can contact them directly. You can get their contact details from the internet. Okay,
and that's under the Ministry of Health.
It's supposed to be an independent body.
I see.
Yeah.
All right.
So, also, if you encounter any fake dentists or illegal practice, you should also make an official complaint to the Malaysian Dental Council as well.
All right.
Yeah.
So the Malaysian Dental Council is the body that is tasked to oversee this kind of wrongdoing. Mm-hmm. A final message, Dr. Mas, for World Oral Health Day today?
Okay. So I would like to ask everyone to support maintenance of oral health. Brush twice daily, floss at least once daily. Maintain good behavior, no smoking. avoid
no
alcohol. Betel nut chewing. And see your dentist regularly.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Mas Surialis Binti Ahmad, President-elect of the Malaysian Dental Association, answering all your questions about oral health today. This has been Health and Living, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.